House Republicans modify their plan for changing America's healthcare system. We'll have details from our Business of Health reporter. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Late last night, top House Republicans released a slate of revisions to the replacement for Obamacare. The GOP leaders hope their changes will draw more support to their health care bill, which has been sharply criticized by members of both parties. Joining us from the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia is our Dan Gorenstein. So, Dan, what changes are you seeing here?
Right. Well, first, you've got the tax credits. The House bill gives the Senate the option to give Americans from age 50 to 64 more generous federal support to help cover the cost of insurance premiums. The question is, how much bigger will these credits get? The left-leaning Center on Budget and Policy Priorities estimates they'd have to be around $13,000 by 2026. These amendments will also end most of the Obamacare tax credits a year sooner.
Then there are a number of changes to Medicaid, the program for low-income Americans, kids, seniors, people with disabilities. What do you know about that?
For decades, conservatives have wanted to shrink the size of Medicaid, David, and this legislation cuts funding to states by nearly $1 trillion over the first decade. Last night's amendment appears to give states more flexibility to run their programs how they want by offering them the option to get a lump sum of money from the federal government. That's called a block grant. The thing here is this would also mean fewer dollars from Washington. Another amendment giving states the choice to put in place work requirements for some people on Medicaid. Now, lots of people on Medicaid who can work already do work. 78% are in families with at least one worker. I've been talking to conservatives about this. Even if the work requirements don't impact many people, they believe the principle that you should be doing something to get yourself off Medicaid matters.
Now, Dan, you follow this closely. There's a vote in the House expected, I think, Thursday night. Any sense which way this goes?
Well, look, almost immediately we started seeing critical comments. Reportedly, about 20 members of the Freedom Caucus, some of the most conservative people in the House, are just not happy. If these folks hold firm, and they do tend to be the idealists, then this bill's going to struggle.
All right. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY, Dan Gorenstein, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Cities, organizations, some houses of worship have declared themselves sanctuaries, places where people in the U.S. illegally can get help. Emory University in Atlanta is wrestling with this. Georgia can refuse state funding to private colleges that adopt sanctuary policies. So the president of Emory says safe harbor instead. From WABE in Atlanta, Tasneem Shama reports.
On the day Emory University President Claire Stirk was inaugurated, students and faculty members protested not far away.
Sanctuary!
No!
Sanctuary!
No!
Students like Chelsea Jackson, who spoke at the rally, are demanding that President Stirk go beyond calling the university a safe harbor and declare itself a sanctuary campus to protect undocumented students.
It is our duty, it is our responsibility to stand with them, to protect them so that they cannot be ripped out of our classrooms.
Emory University has a page on its admissions website inviting undocumented students to apply, but says it doesn't track how many undocumented students are actually enrolled. And starting next year, the school plans to offer financial aid to undocumented students who can show they need it. But lawmakers have proposed a bill that says if private schools like Emory adopt sanctuary policies limiting cooperation with law enforcement, they could lose all funding from the state, including financial aid. Emory received $6 million last year in student scholarships and loans, and more than $30 million in Medicaid funds to serve Atlanta-area patients through its healthcare facilities. Maria Pabon is the former dean of Loyola University's law school in New Orleans. She says students are usually a low priority for deportation.
ICE and Homeland Security, they do not typically do enforcement on universities and churches and such.
State Representative Earl Earhart sponsored the bill to cut funds to schools that adopt sanctuary policies.
If you don't follow the law, then public funds, state funds, are not going to follow you.
President Stirk didn't agree to an interview for this story, but in a letter to a campus group, she says there are many who interpret sanctuary status as a commitment to disobeying federal law. In Atlanta, I'm Tasneem Shamma for Marketplace.
Nike reports profits after the markets close today. Its results come smack in the middle of March Madness. Those games are also a showcase and a battleground for athletic brands. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Nike still rules the big dance when it comes to sponsorship deals, but its dominance is slipping. Eric Smallwood heads up Apex Marketing Group.
In 2015, Nike had 48 of the 68 teams, and then 41 last year, and then 40 this year. What we've really seen is the growth of Under Armour and Adidas.
Adidas has shoe and apparel deals with 15 tournament teams. Under Armour has 12. That Nike still owns the court is no surprise. The company is synonymous with basketball, and that's part of the reason its stock took a big hit last year. Matt Powell follows sports for the NPD Group.
We've seen a shift in fashion away from basketball shoes.
As lifestyle and retro sneakers became more popular, Powell says Nike was slow to react. Adidas didn't miss a step.
Adidas sales last year in the U.S. were up more than 80% at retail.
But there may not be much competition when it comes to March Madness bragging rights. Of the teams that made it to the Sweet 16, a dozen have Nike partnerships. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
And the head of Goldman Sachs International says the financial powerhouse is moving hundreds of jobs out of London as Britain fixes to leave the European Union. The British Prime Minister is set to trigger the formal divorce in just over a week. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.